after Brother Titus called last night. He called about 11:30. And why I stayed up a little longer and why the Lord, I believe, wants me to bring this message to you today. Miss Hilly, you're right. I don't know how much more I can stand. This is just too much. I needed this. I'll be honest with you, beloved. I came here backslidden. I really was. I needed this. It's blessed my heart. Every message has been just exactly what God intended for me to have. I sat there, and boy, I tell you what, everything, I just got all kinds of thoughts for sermons and everything else, and it's blessed my heart. So I pray that somehow God will help me in this message, that you might get a blessing from it. That's my desire. I want you to turn with me to the 12th Psalm in your Bibles, if you will. While you're turning, I guess, and Brother Clark and I were talking about it on the way up this morning, when a man stands for something and believes the truth of God's Word, that's the ones, Brother Harvey, the devil's going to get after. When a church stands for something and will not compromise for those truths, those are the ones that the devil's going to get after. And the longer I try to serve God in my life, the more I become aware of the fact without Him I can do nothing. And I preach this kind of thing to our people because I love our people. God gave me a love for Covenant Baptist Church. But as I tell them, I try to practice the same thing I tell them. And I'll be honest with you, beloved brethren, there are times in my life when I can do nothing more than just cry out to God, help.
Amen.
Help. That's all I can do. Now look with me in this psalm, if you will. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Let me stop just there for a minute. But isn't that the attitude of the world today? In Jesus' day, they said about my Savior and your Savior, beloved, will not have this man to rule over us. But as we've heard the teaching and preaching on the doctrines of grace in this conference, I believe that my Savior has every right to rule over us. I believe that with all my heart today. For the oppression of the poor from the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. We had a title, I guess you already guessed from the title of the message, or guessed the title of the message from the first two words of the psalm, Help, Lord. That's what I'd like to bring you a message on, if I can, this morning. Along with what Brother Titus said, verse of scripture we oftentimes refer to as train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Brethren, that's all we can hope in today. And we trust in that, and we cry out, help, Lord. I would, and I believe as Brother Hilly said the first night, I too feel sometimes like you just like to shake people, not because you hate them, but because you love them. I'd love sometime to just see souls. We've got folks in our church that are lost. They need Jesus Christ as their Savior. The only thing I can do is just do what God called me to do, and that's preach the Word and ask Him for help. Help, Lord, save them. They need a Savior. They're lost, and they're on the road to hell. So I'm not satisfied, and brethren, I don't think any of us should be satisfied with what we have today or what we're doing today, because we've got so much work to get done before the Lord takes us home. Brother Clark was teasing with me this morning. He said, well, he said, just a few more years and I'll retire. And I looked over at him and I said, you're not going to retire. I know you too well for that. But you know, brethren, one day we are going to be satisfied. We look over at that next page in our Bibles in the 17th Psalm and verse 15. He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied. When I awake with thy likeness, one day I'm going to be like Jesus, and that's what I'm looking forward to today. Help, Lord, in the meantime, help me and help we to do the job that you've called for us to do. That's my burden today. I'm not satisfied today, but thank God one day I will be, because I'm going to be like Jesus. And I'm looking forward to that time. Until then, brethren, we can cry out for help, and I believe what he said in his word when he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm trusting in that today. I'm trusting in him today. Sure, we have burdens. Sure, we have heartaches today. Wasn't two or three weeks ago on a Sunday night, I called Brother Titus and I said, Brother, I want you to pray for us. So we've got a burden. We've got a problem. And I don't know what else to do but to just ask God to help. And you know, when you have a friend in the Lord, he was encouraging. But you know where he encouraged me from? God's Word. If you're a child of God today, my friend, the only place you're going to find help, I mean lasting help and strength, is in this Word and the God of this Word. That's where it's at. That's the only place I can find it. Now notice something with me as we look at this psalm and the time that we have, that in this psalm, this was the cry of someone who had a deep need. This wasn't a cry of fear or anything like this, but this was one who had a faith in the Lord. David, that is. I know it's under divine inspiration, but David had a need. But David had faith in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. He knew where his help would come from, so he looked to the Lord. And I believe today, in these days of great falling away and great backsliding, my friend, we need to turn to Him who is able to help us. Nobody else can help us like the Lord can. So we need to look to Him today. We need to call upon Him today. So as we look at this psalm, there is a deep realization of the need of the only one that can help. And truly today, there's only one that can help us. The psalmist once said, I look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? So we need to be looking today to Him. So there is no one today that we can go to when the pride of men's hearts, and surely today we're living in a day when men are filled with prideful hearts, and the words of their tongue have been lifted up against the God of the Bible. There's just no one else that we can turn to today. I think of times gone by and how that we used to have brethren preachers come to these conferences, and there'd be 30, 40, and 50, and 60 preachers come to a Bible conference. Help, Lord, what's happened to us? I'm thankful today I've got to meet some of you brethren for the first time. Amen. I think of Brother Hancock out there where my oldest son is. And we exchanged addresses and phone numbers, and he's going to get a hold of my oldest son and try to get him to start coming to church. He's been out to his church one time. You know what I'm going to do when I get home and Brother Hancock heads back to California? I'm going to say, help, Lord.
Amen.
Help. He needs to serve you, Lord. Only you can draw him. You drew him. If you saved him, if he saved, you drew him with your cords of love, with a calling unto salvation. Call him, Lord. Bring him to serve you.
Amen.
That's the desire of my heart.
Amen.
When others, and I look at you, brethren, and I'm thankful for you. You know why I thank God for you? I look at you and I've gotten to know you and to love you. And the one thing I thank God for is the fact that you haven't changed your convictions over the years. I know it's not in you. It's not in me to believe what we believe today. But you know what? It's by God's grace that you've remained steady, consistent.
Amen.
What about those that have fallen away? I want to say something about it. And I may say more later if time will permit. What do I do and what do we do about that? We still love them. They're God's children, aren't they? Help, Lord.
Amen, brother.
Help,
amen.
Lord.
Amen.
I still believe what I believe. I believe what I was taught by the Spirit of God. I believe God also uses human instrumentality.
Right.
I've sat under you preachers and heard the truths of God's Word. And I believe it. Help, Lord. Don't let me get away from it.
Right.
Help.
Amen.
I don't want to turn my back on the truth of God's Word.
Right.
I don't want to preach one message in my church today and change it 6 months or a year from now.
Amen.
Help, Lord, help me to be consistent.
Amen.
Help me to be steady. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable." God, help me to be steadfast and unmovable.
Amen.
Lord, help. That's what we need today. Brethren, I believe the reason we don't have power anymore in our churches and in our pulpits is because in our pews and in our pulpits we don't have faithfulness anymore. We've compromised. Maybe not us, and by the grace of God we haven't. But the reason that Baptist ranks are so powerless today is because we've turned our backs on what we know to be true in God's Word. And I'm indicting now, not us maybe, but I'm indicting Baptists, and if it fits us, then help, Lord, so we won't do it. You see, our help comes from the Lord. He's the only one that can help us today. Now notice some verses with me. We won't be able to look at them all, but look in the 33rd Psalm with me just for a minute. And verse 18. We'll be coming back here in just a minute. But he said, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." Notice again in the 46th Psalm with me in verse 1, if you will, please. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Brethren, haven't you found that to be so?
Amen.
When maybe you got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and had a burden on your heart. Now, some of you preachers might sleep good all night. When I get a burden on my heart, I get up. And I talk to the Lord. And I find that He's always present and able to help. Help, Lord. He's there to help us when we need Him, you see. Paul writes over is quoted in the Psalms by Luke saying, "Having obtained the help of God in His testimony or His witness before King Agrippa." So he found that God was able, and he knew that God was able to help him. Now I want us to, just for a few moments, go into this prayer, this chapter, if we may, as far along as we can get. It's a short prayer. Help, Lord, help, or help, Lord, you see. And he puts the Lord, or before the Lord, the reasons for the need of the help of the Lord. He tells them why, and I believe this is important. And not only was it timely in David's day, But beloved, I submit to you that it's needful in our day because it's timely today. Help, Lord! Notice this with me. He said in verse 1, for the godly man ceaseth. I tell you what, this ought to be the reason for every child of God today, every preacher in this place today, or every preacher that's indeed saved by the grace of God and is a true preacher of the Word of God, to cry out to God for help for, because godly men are ceasing on every side.
Amen.
Godliness has never then been the thing that has been loved by the world. It's been hated by the world. Our Savior Himself said, marvel not that the world hateth you, for it hated me before it hated you.
Right.
My friend, you live for Jesus Christ today, and you serve God, and you hold fast for this Word. You support your pastor as he follows God's Word and the leadership of the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you today that the world's going to hate you because you love Jesus Christ. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. World hates godly people. The world hates godly living. Brother Clark sold me a clipping. Do you know that your legal legislators in this land and country are, maybe I didn't know this till yesterday, but they're enacting legislation to take away your religious liberties one step at a time that you can't. In Canton, Michigan, you people from Michigan, listen to me. And there's others down south too, just not up here. In Canton, Michigan, for example, you can't hold a prayer meeting or a Bible study in your home. Am I wrong or right, Brother Clark? That's what it said. They're taking away our liberty and our freedom to worship the Lord according to the dictates of His Word and the leadership of the Spirit of God. Help, Lord! Because if He don't help, we're not going to be able to overcome the objections of Satan. The world hates godliness, you see. God's blessing has been upon this land of America because of the godly people in the land and country. And slowly but surely, beloved, it's going down the tubes. The people are turning their backs on that which they've been taught to observe, that which they've been taught to abide by, that which they've been taught to love. They're turning their backs on it and forsaking the truths of God's Word. And we're wondering why our country's in the shape that she's in today. Help, Lord. Think of just in the last 10 or 15 years, we've legalized murder in this country. Taking the lives of innocent babies, and we're wondering why we've been in the depths of a recession in Flint. They had a depression, didn't they? These folks that live in this area know what I'm talking about. They had a depression. And we're wondering why the country's in the shape that she's in. Think of how many millions maybe by now they've murdered since they've legalized abortion in this country. Help, Lord. I hate you for the truth that you love. I hate you for the Savior that you love. Help, Lord. No more people in this country know anything about Jesus Christ than to take His name in vain. Help, Lord. Don't it just make your hair curl when you hear that? Don't it just get your righteous indignation up? Don't it break your heart also and you want to cry out, help, Lord! Help! You see, so we wonder why the wrath of God seems to be upon our land and country, but think of the shape that the land and country is in and ask God to help, because if God don't intervene, beloved, we're on thin ice. We're on the way down. God's blessings on the church, I believe. Listen to me now. Let's get it down to we Baptists who've been saved by the grace of God. I believe the blessings of God upon a church is upon the church that remains steadfast and faithful to the Lord. The moment that the Lord's people turn their backs on Him or compromise with the truths of God's Word, then the blessings cease to be upon that church. Help, Lord! Living in a day, all right, I'm going to be repetitious. I've said this a lot, and I preach this even in our church, but we're living in a day when Baptists in this generation of preachers of my age have gone around and made fun of and made light of those who believe in a Baptist bride.
Amen.
Yes, they have. Help, Lord. Help. He's got to help them. If he don't, they may not turn back to the truth. I believe Jesus Christ had Baptist baptism. You can believe what you want to believe. I believe the church that he organized was a Baptist church. I believe when he said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe, my beloved friend, I believe today that it was a Baptist church, and it is to his kind of churches that he promised perpetuity, and I believe they'll be here when he comes back one day. And in the meantime, I'm going to cry, help, Lord, and cry out to him and beg him that he'll keep them flourishing, growing, and seeing these missionary brethren start new churches. I'm praying for Brother Lowerman. Praying for Brother Henderson. I'm praying for Brother Tim Hilly and all these other brethren. And I'm praying, my friend, for Brother Hall. And I want to see those works organized in the local New Testament churches.
Amen.
I believe that. And I believe we ought to be praying for one another. Help, Lord. I want to show you something. This bothers me too. Look over in Romans chapter 6. Now, I know you know I'm not angry. I'm nervous as a... I don't know what, but I'm also burdened in my heart. I want you to look with me in Romans chapter 6. I've seen Baptist preachers write that it's all right to take social drinking. Now, I've seen that. You may not have seen it, but I've seen it. To drink socially and everything else, put these things in print. And I've heard fellas say, oh, you're under grace now, don't worry about it. But you know, all I know to do and understand is what God said in His Word. Now notice what He said in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can we? And yet, We're in a generation where nothing's wrong anymore. Everything's right. And after all, you're saved. And we're all one day going to be together in glory. And that's true. We will be if you're saved. But in the meantime, because we've been under grace, because God saved us by His grace, can we continue and live a life that's displeasing to God? Look on further there in verse 14 and verse 13. He said, or verse 12, I'm liking everything I look at, backing up in this Bible here. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. He said that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Beloved, listen to me. When we were dead in trespasses and in sin, by the preaching and the witness of the Word of God, did not the Spirit of God quicken us and make us alive unto Christ Jesus?
Amen.
Did we not trust Him and believe in Him in our hearts? Were we not born again by the Spirit of God? Do we not now live unto God?
Amen. Amen.
Do we not now, my friend, have life eternal and everlasting? Are we not dead to sin? Are we not to be alive unto God?
Amen.
Notice what he said in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
What then? You know, the Spirit of God used Paul, and he made some very sound reasoning points in God's Word. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? I like this. I've got this one underlined. But God be thanked that ye were... Past tense. Used to be. One time was, ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Free at last, are we not? If you want to talk about liberty, I'm telling you, I think this is, and I believe this is the liberty he's talking about in the Word of God. I was under, I was a bond slave in sin. I was sold out to sin, but God by His grace saved me in 1957. And now, my friend, I'm a slave to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And beloved, that's what we ought to be today.
Amen.
Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Thank God for His grace today that He took a 20-year-old boy just short of being 21 and had a Baptist preacher tell him about Jesus Christ and His power to save and lead him, my friend, through the Word of God till the moment when he was on his knees next to that Baptist preacher, and that preacher prayed unto God to save his soul, and was that moment that that sinner quit trying to help himself but completely trusted in Jesus Christ. That's when I was saved by the grace of God.
Glory.
And I was there too, brother, and I know what happened. Thank God for His grace. And my friend, grace does not give us the right to live as we please, but grace gives us the liberty to live unto God. Notice this now in Titus chapter 2 with me, if you will. I think I said this last year down at Zor in Titus 2. This grace teaches. It's practical. It's real. It's not dead today. And I'll tell you what, it's something we can get excited about because our Savior's alive today and we're alive because of what He did. So now he said in Titus 2:11, "For the grace, the unmerited favor of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Thank God it did. See, now it teaches us something. That grace, you know, I love the doctrines of grace. I love an effectual call. I love the perseverance of the saints. I believe that grace is irresistible. I believe it's unconditional. I believe I was totally depraved. But I tell you what, the grace of God teaches me something. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, not later, but here and now. And it'll do something for you. It'll cause you to look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I love this singing and this preaching. He's coming. And it'll be soon. And we're going to be with Him. We're going to be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Who gave Himself for us. He died that we might live. He was buried in that tomb for 3 days and three nights. And He came forth from the grave. And because He lives today, we shall live also. That's a precious promise. That He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people.
Amen.
Peculiar people. Zealous of good works. These things speak. What things? Well, we've just been reading. And exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You can believe what you want. And I believe if the pastor loves the flock, he'll do just that. He'll rebuke, but he'll also exhort. You love somebody. I use that analogy that the Lord uses in Hebrews 12. For what father is it if he loves his son that he doesn't chasten him when he gets out of line? There's an evidence that we're saved, you see. So I believe, too, that a pastor ought to love the people that God's given him to be a pastor to. If he's indifferent to their worldliness, if he's indifferent to what they're doing, then, my friend, I say there's something wrong. But if he's what God would have him to be because he loves him, he'll rebuke their sinfulness. I've sat near my pastor when I was still at Grace Church in Warren years ago. And I'd see him breathing deeply before he got up to preach. And after he got up to preach, I felt the teeth marks from the sermon. But I know that he had a burden on his heart, and if he didn't love the flock, he wouldn't have done so. He wasn't up there trying to fleece the sheep. He was up there trying to help the people. And I learned a lot of things. Times I thought I was doing right, he took me to this book and showed me where I was doing wrong. That's what is the help for God's people. Help, Lord. We need that kind today, don't we? Help, Lord. If Jesus tarries, will God raise up another generation that'll do that? Help, Lord. We need that. We need that so badly. Look with me one more place in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I don't guess we're going to get very far here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1, I believe the failure of godliness is that which brings us into perilous times. And godliness is failing today. Listen, brethren, much as we'd like to say differently and much as we'd like to see differently, there are people just falling aside, one, two here, three there, falling away from the truth. If your heart, listen to me, church member today, if your heart is right with God and you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to love your Savior, you ought to love the Word of God, you ought to love your pastor, and you ought to love the truths of God's Word and the truths about His church, and you ought to stay steadfast and permanent in that body where God put you.
Amen.
And serve God as faithfully as you can.
Right.
You be bouncing around here, there, and everywhere. Just stay where God put you, and you're going to be happy.
Amen.
The reason people aren't happy anymore, and Brother Jones, was it you that said the other night, the reason people aren't happy anymore is because they're not faithful to serve God. We're in perilous times, and all of what we read here, I believe, is in our world in existence today. He said in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." I believe if you ask every one of these preachers down here, and those that are seated on this side of the house, if you believe Jesus Christ's return is imminent, I believe that they would, without any reservation, say almost immediately. That's how close it could be. We're not predicting by the calendar or by the watch or the clock on the wall a time, but we believe that He could come back just like that in a moment, at any time now. And in the last days, perilous times shall come, and we're living in that time. We're living in that day. For men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
Right.
And preachers, isn't that sometimes true about us?
Right.
Boy, if I don't get to preach on that conference, I'm going to be all upset. And why don't they give me an opportunity? Because men are on ego trips. I'm thankful Brother Titus asked me to preach, because you brethren have fed my soul, through the Lord has through you. But I'm thankful I have the privilege to preach, but had I not gotten the privilege, I've just been as thankful to have been here and to have heard what I've heard and have gotten into my heart what I've gotten into my heart in these last 2 days or 3 days. But men are lovers of their own selves, covetous. Folks are covetous today. Look what I've got. Look what I'm getting. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm buying. Look what I have. You know, everything we have, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything you've got and everything I've got, everything we've got, the Lord gave to us. He can take it away just like that, can He? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Aren't we living in that day? How many times, men and women, have you gone to the store and seen children just put up a temper tantrum because they can't have something that's on the shelf of the store? Mommy and Daddy said, "You can't have that." And that child gets all excited and starts crying. And then when they get older, they become more rebellious and more disobedient. That's right. In my day, that's what they did. They'd take you out to the woodshed. And even in school they used to do it. And that was called in my day applying the Board of Education. Today if a teacher touches a child, they're in trouble. That's why the kids are in trouble. disobedient to parents. What's happened to us? Lord, help. Help, Lord. We need your help.
Amen, brother.
We've got to have help. We're falling away.
Amen.
Unthankful. Everybody, this in this world today thinks the world owes them a living. Now, I'll give you one simple thing. My dad was not saved till he was 69 years of age, but one thing he instilled in my mind from a child on up was this. If you want something, get out and work for it if you need it bad enough. And if you need it bad enough and you can't earn enough to get it, and I mean you need it, if I can help you, I'll help you get it. But if you don't need it, you don't need it. But the world today has the impression that I'm talking about the world of people, that the world itself owes them a living. Wasn't that what God said in the book, the beginning, the book of beginnings in Genesis, that a man ought to work for what he has? He's going to work by the sweat of the brow. There's no disgrace in working. You might be a laborer digging ditches, but there's nothing wrong in that if you're faithful to Jesus Christ. Help, Lord! Unholy! Unholy, without natural affection, and truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, and despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I guess I got to quit in a minute, so I better say what's on my heart from what I just read. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I think that our Baptist churches, by and large, in this generation have become pleasure houses. Pleasure houses. We had, and I'm going to share something with you, and I wish we could have taught this man, and one of our members, two of our members are here, or three. We had a man come from a town just about 15, 20 miles away and came to our church, came for a month and a half or 2 months, came forward one night and wanted to unite with the church. And we found that the church that he came from and he had his baptism from practiced open communion. We don't take those letters. Do what you want, but we don't recognize that.
Amen.
So my friend, what happened is we explained to him, you need to be baptized. If you're saved and you had a good profession, you need to follow your Lord in scriptural baptism. And his wife brought up a question. We went over to visit a couple of times, and his wife says, do you have a junior church? I said, absolutely not. We don't believe in it. We believe it divides the body, and we don't have it. That's good. We don't have one. So what we did is we explained, we don't have that thing. We want you to come if the Lord wants you there, but we want you to serve God according to His Word. And I believe in our Baptist churches today, we've gotten to the place where we have become people who have our lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What will you give to me rather than we want to feast on the Word of God? And that includes your puppet shows and your movies and your biggest birthday cakes and everything else. The Bible said, preach the Word. And that's our responsibility, brethren. Help, Lord. Let's go back. You know, and haven't we gotten to the place? But we've got to do one thing after another, entertain people and amuse them. We've got to help them and get them interested in coming to church. After all, I had one preacher call me one time, don't feel badly about him. After all he's doing is using a method. All he's doing is using a method, and you might use one method, and he might use another method, but it's just like a bunch of lost people. Preacher, don't tell me about Jesus, because after all, I've been baptized. We're all trying to get to the same place. And then the preacher come around and say, well, after all, he's just using a method. The method I was taught to do is preach the Word.
Amen.
Preach the Word. God the Spirit will take care of the rest.
Amen.
And if He's going to save them, if there's one of His elect, He'll get the job done. Help, Lord. Help us to get back to the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul.
Amen.
But in the last part of that verse, he said, we'll not walk therein. That's what the attitude of the people was in that day. And help, Lord, I believe that's just about what the attitude is of many Baptists today.
That's right.
The only place we can find help. The only need we have of this day It's the old time religion, just like the same truths that Brother Healy and Brother Clark preached years ago, and Brother Titus and Brother Rogers and rest of you brethren. It hadn't changed. Grass withereth and the flower fadeth away, but the word of God will abide forever.
Amen.
Help, Lord.
Amen.
If nothing else, help us that we might earnestly contend for the faith.
Amen. Amen.